I am really pumped that you're here on this Easter Sunday, and I just want you to think about something. You know, there are a lot of opinions out there about who Jesus is. We dropped off last week talking about Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry of Jesus, and at the end of that story, after Jesus gets on this donkey, rides into Jerusalem, there's this big uproar. People throw their coats on the ground. They throw palm branches on the ground, and they're shouting things like, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. There's this all this excitement when Jesus kind of enters into Jerusalem. But there's this group of people that are kind of like wondering, who is this? Who is this Jesus that's come into the city? And the crowd was a little bit confused about who Jesus was, as we know later, because just 5 days after they said, Hosanna and blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, they're yelling, crucify him. They were unsure. And just like then, there were some different opinions about who Jesus was. It's the same way today, right? I mean, some people are like me. They have the opinion that Jesus is the Son of God. That's what most of us in this room, I think, would believe. Many of you online believe that as well, that Jesus is the Son of God. Other people have a different opinion about Jesus. They think that Jesus was just a really good teacher, or maybe just an ancient prophet, and he had some great teachings, but they just can't bring themselves to say that Jesus was the Son of God. And then there are other people who have the opinion that Jesus probably didn't even exist at all, that he's just this mythological figure that people made up to teach some moral lessons. Well, no matter where you are on that spectrum of believing in Jesus or not believing in Jesus, I'm just so glad that you're here this morning, where you get to celebrate with us who do believe in Jesus what we think is an event that changed everything. It changed it not just for us, it changed it for the disciples, really it changed it for the whole world. And as we think about that event, I want you to use your imagination. Now, I know that most of you, the last time you used your imagination was when you fantasized about winning the lottery or when you were in kindergarten, right? You know, and your teacher said, use your imagination. Well, I want you to use your imagination for just a minute this morning. And no matter what you believe or don't believe about Jesus, I just want you just for a minute to just imagine that Jesus was a real historical figure, and that you were living in Israel during the time when Jesus was walking around on the earth. And not only were you living in Israel at that time, but imagine if you were one of the guys that Jesus invited to be his follower. Like you are one of those disciples who Jesus said, hey, come and follow me, and you decided to follow him. And so you spent the last 3 years following behind Jesus, listening to him, watching him do things. Like you were there when he turned the water into wine, and you had a glass, and it was pretty good. You were there when you saw him heal a guy of leprosy, and he no longer had leprosy. You saw Jesus heal somebody who was blind, and they could now see. You saw him cause people who were lame to get up and walk out of the room. You saw people who, or you saw Jesus take 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and feed over 5,000 people. Like you were there when Jesus walked on the water. You thought he was a ghost at first, but then you realized, oh my goodness, this really is Jesus. You were there in the boat with Jesus when he spoke to the tropical storm force winds and told them to be still, and all of a sudden they stopped. I mean, you were there for all of those miracles. And not only were you there for the miracles, you were there for all the really cool stories, those that you understood, those that you didn't understand. There was the really cool one, you remember, about the prodigal son. There's that other one about the Good Samaritan. You were there for all of those stories. You were even there when Jesus put the religious leaders and the Pharisees in their place. Like he made them look so bad that they came up with a plan to kill him. You were there for all of that. Imagine that for the past 3 years, you had experienced all of this. And whenever a rabbi said to follow you, you did started to follow Jesus because he was just a rabbi. And whenever a rabbi said to follow you, you did that, you know. But over the past 3 years, you realized that Jesus was more than just a rabbi. He was more than just a teacher. Like now, you're convinced that Jesus really is the Messiah, the Christ, the one who the Jews had been looking for, the Redeemer, the Savior, the one that people had been waiting on for hundreds and hundreds of years. But 2 days ago, the unthinkable happened. 2 days ago, the man that you had followed for the past 3 years was arrested. He was savagely beaten. He was marched bloody and half naked across Jerusalem. He was executed on a cross, and you saw with your own eyes this guy that was your friend And the one who you thought was the Messiah, you saw him die on a Roman cross. Well, that is where the story of Easter picks up. See, the story of Easter happens after all of that. See, the Savior, the one that these disciples thought was going to be the Savior of the world, he was going to come in and rescue them, he was now dead. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. But then we get to Sunday. And like if you were here at our Good Friday service, Good Friday is like part one. This is part two. So if you missed Good Friday, you missed part one. It's like showing up with the sequel. This is the sequel to the original movie that happened in part one. This is the rest of the story. And it happens to be recorded in Matthew chapter 28. And if you have your Bible, you can open up to Matthew 28. If you don't have a Bible, we've got some. Oh, we don't have them in the pew because of COVID. Oh, man, doggone it. But if you've got a Bible app on your phone, especially the YouVersion Bible app, if you go to the event section of that, the scriptures are on there. We're going to put these up on the screen as well. This is recorded in all four of the Gospels, the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which means that this was a really, really important event to those early disciples. And look at what Matthew tells us, starting in verse 1. It says, after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Now, the Sabbath for the Jews was Saturday. Some of you know that. And there was a law that said that you couldn't do any work on the Sabbath. So basically, these disciples who had saw Jesus die on Friday couldn't do anything to prepare the body for burial. They couldn't do anything really even to mourn because you couldn't do anything on the Sabbath. So they had to wait till the first day of the week, which for them was Sunday, to do something. And what we see here is these two Marys, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, go to look at the tomb. Now, who were these two women? Well, Mary Magdalene was one of Jesus's closest female followers. She's always around Jesus. Tradition says that she was the one that Jesus cast the seven demons out of. She's just one of his closest followers. But then you have this one that's called the other Mary. Like, who's the other Mary? How would you like to be that? Well, just so that you know, Mary was like the most common name for a female during that time, during Jesus' time. So lots of people had the name Mary. So they were trying to differentiate the two Marys. And the only way they could differentiate this other Mary was to call her the other Mary. But let me tell you who she was. She was the mother of one of Jesus's disciples, the disciple who was named James, the son of Alphaeus. Now it's confusing as well because Jesus had two disciples named James. It's a little weird, right? One was James, the son of Zebedee, whose brother was John. And then you had James, the son of Alphaeus. Well, James, the son of Alphaeus had a mom and his mom was the other Mary. So that's who these two women were. And they were going to the tomb. Now we learn from Mark's gospel that the reason they were going to the tomb was they were going to prepare Jesus's body for burial. They'd gotten all these spices together. And I know we send our bodies to a mortuary to prepare them for burial. That's what we do. We stuff them with all kinds of chemicals. It's really, really weird what we do. Well, what they did was they would wrap the body in all of these spices, and they were going to the tomb in order to do this. Mark also tells us that when they were going to the tomb, they were wondering to themselves, how were they going to get to the body? Because they knew that a big stone had been rolled in front of the tomb, and they were not strong enough to roll the stone away, so they're wondering to themselves what they're gonna do. But what we need to think or know is going on in their mind right now is they were going to the tomb expecting to find a dead body. It's important. They were going to the tomb expecting to find a dead body, but then something happens. Verse 2. There was a violent earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone, took care of that problem, and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were as white as snow. See, it's clear that something big was going on. There's an earthquake and then an angel shows up. Whenever an angel shows up, something big's about to happen, right? He comes down, he rolls the stone away from the entrance of the tomb. I came across a quote about this earthquake that I thought was really cool. It said, "The earth shook at both Christ's crucifixion or his passion and at his resurrection, then to show that it could not bear his suffering and now to show it could not hinder his rising." I love that quote. I think it's fantastic. But so this angel shows up, an earthquake, he rolls the stone away, and then look at what happens in verse 4. It says, "The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men." Well, what you don't know is that not only was there a stone in front of the tomb, but the Jewish leaders were worried that the disciples were gonna come and steal Jesus' body. So they got the Roman governor to station some guards outside the tomb. I mean, can you imagine? You're guarding the tomb so that nobody would steal the body. That's what they did. They send these guards, these Roman guards, to guard the tomb. But these guards, who were tough guys, I mean, if you've seen Gladiator, you know Roman soldiers were not wimps, right? These were some pretty, you know, tough guys. I just love their response. They shook and became like dead men. Like, they were so afraid that they just almost passed out when they saw the angel, which is really what everybody's response is when they see an angel. But the angel kind of ignores them and addresses the women. Look at verse 5. It says, the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid." I want to stop there for a minute, because I think that what the angel says to the women is so, so important. See, the angel repeats a command that we find 365 times throughout the Bible. The most often commanded command in the entire Bible is the command to not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Over and over again, God tells us to not be afraid, which is weird, because we would think that God would tell us, hey, behave, get along with one another, you know, stop cussing. You know, take care of your family. You would think that he would give us those kind of commands over and over again. But the command that he issues over and over and over again, 365 times, is to not be afraid. And that's what the angel said to these women. Don't be afraid. And then he goes on and says, "For I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified." I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. See, the angel knew that the women were looking for a dead Jesus. That's what they were expecting to find. That's what everybody was expecting to find, because they had all seen Jesus die. But look at what the angel says to them. He says, "He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." Here, for the first time, these faithful women, these women who had been following Jesus around, these women who had been Jesus' disciples, they heard something that they did not expect to hear. They heard that Jesus was no longer dead, but that he was risen. Now, the truth is, they should have expected this. And you know why they should have expected this? Because Jesus, over and over and over again, told his disciples, told his followers, that he was gonna die and that he was gonna rise from the dead. Over and over again, he told that. But they weren't expecting a risen Jesus. And the reason why is nobody would have expected somebody to come back to death. Would you have expected that? I mean, if you had seen him die, even though he said it, you're not expecting it to happen. And that's not what they were expecting. But the angel says to them, "He is not here. He is risen." He just blew their expectations out of the water. And then he gives them these instructions. Like, he doesn't even give them time to process that. Like, I would have been like, just take a minute. You know, just take a little bit of time. I know this is big news. Would you just take? He doesn't even give them any time. He gives them this instruction. "Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." See, the angel gives them these simple instructions. I want you to quickly go and tell the disciples. But what happens here? We just read over that and we're like, oh, that's a pretty easy instruction for the angel to give the women. They can do that, they can do it. But what's going on here is radically countercultural for Jesus' day. It was unheard of in the first century, because these women were entrusted with the most amazing news ever, that Jesus had risen from the dead. But let me tell you something. In the first century, women were never entrusted with important news. Never. Never was a woman entrusted with an important piece of information. In fact, women couldn't, their testimony wasn't even valid in court unless you got a bunch of them together. Like, nobody trusted what a woman had to say. They were never entrusted with important news except here. Except here, where God entrusts these two women with the most important news ever. See, not only did these women get to be the first witnesses of the resurrection, but they were the ones who were first entrusted to share the best news ever, which I think teaches us something pretty incredibly amazing about God. See, and Paul says it this way. He says that in Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. In other words, that in Christ, we're all equal. There's not things that make one person better than another, one sex better than another, one race better than another. We're all equal. We're all in the same, the same ground. And what we see in this story is something I think we need to notice in our culture, and that is that the God that God entrusts this great news to two people who nobody would ever trust with great news. He trusts them to share this incredible news. And so it goes on, and we see what they did. And so the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. I love their emotional response here. They're afraid, but at the same time, they're filled with joy. Afraid and filled with joy, which is interesting. That's everybody's response when they encounter the risen Jesus. They're afraid and they're filled with joy over and over again. So they ran to report the good news. They couldn't hold it in, which I wish we could be more like them, right? That we would be so willing to share the good news that we know. But then something unexpected happens again. Look at verse 9. Suddenly, Jesus met them. Now, it was one thing for them to have the angel show up and to say, he's not here, he's risen. But then they run right smack dab into Jesus, right into him. This was definitely not expected. And I think there's a really, really big, important spiritual truth for us to take away from this right here. And that is that as we do what it is that God tells us to do, we experience Jesus. As we do what God tells us to do, we experience Jesus. And not only that, that obedience paves the way for experiencing Jesus. See, some of you, you want an encounter with Jesus. You want to experience Jesus. You want to grow in your relationship with Jesus. The key to experiencing Jesus is doing what Jesus tells you to do. We say it this way here at Hub City Church, that a disciple is someone who hears from God and does what he says. These women experience Jesus because they were willing to do what they had been told to do. Some of you needed to hear that. The thing that's keeping you from experiencing Jesus is that you're just not doing what he's telling you to do. But it was this act of obedience that paved the way for them to run into Jesus. So they meet Jesus, and then Jesus says this. I think. There you go. Greetings, which is a little, sometimes the translate, don't you wish Jesus would have just said, what's up, ladies? You know, it's like an alien greetings, earthling. It's a little formal, but I think that's a translation issue. Just imagine saying, what's up, ladies? He said, and they came and clasped his feet and worshiped him. That little phrase, clasped his feet, is an expression to show that they were submitting to him and respecting him and worshiping him. And see, that their response to encountering this risen Jesus was to submit to him and worship him. And then Jesus tells them this in verse 10. He says, then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Whoa, time out, Jesus. Sounds a little familiar. Where did we hear this before? It's the same thing the angel said. Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Now I find this very interesting. Not only does Jesus tell them to not be afraid, which, if you ran into somebody who had been dead 2 days before and was now alive, you would probably be afraid. So it's understandable. But he says, go and tell my brothers. My brothers. Now that's his description of the disciples. But let me just remind you who the brothers were. The brothers were those 12 guys that all abandoned Jesus when he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. They were the ones who ran. One of them was a guy by the name of Peter who kind of wanted to see what was going on with Jesus and then denied him 3 times. Jesus' closest friend denied him 3 times. Jesus doesn't say, go tell those guys that abandoned me to go to where I told them to meet me. No, he doesn't say that. He says, go tell my brothers, which I think is just a picture of God's grace. There they will see me. It's really the same instruction that the angel gave to the women. Jesus tells them the same thing, to go and tell the disciples. Jesus entrusts these women with the greatest news in the history of the world. Now, I just want you to think about that story for just a minute. Talk about a reversal of fortunes. Something unbelievable happened. Jesus, the one that they saw be crucified 2 days earlier, was now risen from the dead. And from this point on, it changed everything for the disciples. And for those of us who call ourselves Christians, for those of us who say we are followers of Jesus, this event that we just read about really changes everything for us as well. It's really the pivotal event in the history of our faith. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15, you need to go and read that chapter this week. It's just a great chapter that talks about the resurrection. Basically says that if this event didn't happen, then all of our faith is useless, that we are wasting our time, that if Jesus just died, then we should just all be at home or just enjoying spring break or doing something else other than coming here and worshiping him. But that the resurrection not only did happen, but it changed everything. And everything that we believe as Christians is based on this foundation. So to wrap up, I have a couple questions that I want you to think about. And the first question is this. Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins and rose from the dead? See, the past weekend with Good Friday, where we remember Jesus' crucifixion, and Easter Sunday, where we remember his resurrection, they all point to two things, that Jesus died for your sin and for my sin, and that he rose from the dead. See, that's what the past few days have been all about. And we're going to talk more about why all of this matters next week, which I hope you come back next week, because a lot of times we just talk about the event of the resurrection and we talk about the event of the crucifixion and we never talk about why it matters. I want to spend all Sunday next week talking about why it matters, because I think that's really important. But the question I want you to ask yourself today is, do I really believe it? Do I believe that Jesus died for my sin and that he rose from the dead? And then another question I want you to ask yourself is this. Have you submitted your life to him? Have you submitted your life to him? See, it's one thing to believe, but we're called to do more than just believe. We're called to actually follow Jesus. And to follow Jesus means that we submit our life to him, that we say he's the one who's in charge and we're not, that he's the king and we're the subjects, that we're here to do what he wants us to do. So have you submitted your life to him? Now, I know there's some of you who are in the room or maybe online, and the answer to those two questions is no. That's your answer. No, I don't believe that Jesus died for my sins and rose from the dead. I've not submitted my life to him. If that's you, I'm so glad you're here, and I just want you to know that God loves you, and I would love to talk with you more about that. If you want to have a conversation about what that means and what that looks like, and if you want to even just tell me why it is that you don't believe and why it is that you won't submit, I'd love to have a conversation with you about that. Actually, God would probably love for you to have a conversation with him about that as well. He loves tough conversations. But most of us in this room, we do believe that Jesus died for our sins. We do believe that he rose from the dead, and we have submitted our lives to him. And I just have one instruction for us. And it's the same instruction that the angel gave to the women, and it's the same instruction that Jesus gave to the women. And it's this, go and tell. Go and tell. Let this sink in for a minute. You have been entrusted with the greatest news in the history of the world. No matter what level your self-esteem is, no matter what you do for your career or your level of depression or not depression or you're feeling qualified or unqualified or whatever, you, every one of you who call yourselves a follower of Jesus have been entrusted with the greatest news in the history of the world, that Jesus, the Son of God, died on the cross for the sins of the world, but he didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead so that we could have a relationship with him. We have incredible news to share. Let's be like the women in the story and immediately get up and do what it is that he's telling us to do, to go and to tell. I just think we have news worth sharing. And a lot of times we just are reluctant or we're afraid or we just surround ourselves with Christians and don't even hang out with any body that's not a Christian, right? But we have this incredible news to share. That's really what Easter is about, right? It's about the best news in the history of the world. Let's pray. God, thanks for the opportunity to look at, once again, at the story of the resurrection. I'm so grateful that we don't serve a dead God, but that we actually serve a living God who conquered death. And because of that, we can have hope that one day we'll conquer death, but even more than that, we can have a restored relationship with you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for our sins. Thank you, Jesus, for coming back to life. I want to pray for those of us who believe that, that you would give us opportunities and the courage to go and tell. That this week, that you would open up conversational doors for us so that we can share our faith. And Lord, I pray for those who are listening to this, that they're not there yet. Like, they're not to the point where they believe, or they're not to the point where they are willing to submit their life to you. Would you just chase them down in your love? Reveal yourself to them. Help them to come to a place where they can believe in you and submit their life to you. Thanks for the opportunity again to remember the resurrection. We just praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.